Now we're going to check on that other great sporting event that's just across the channel. Another showdown today over strawberries and cream. It's Williams versus Williams for the fourth time in a decade at Center Court in Wimbledon. We're joined now by our sports guy, Howard Bryant. Howard, morning. How are you?
Good morning, Scott.
An all-Williams final at Wimbledon again. Venus Williams playing for her sixth title, Serena for her third. What an extraordinary rivalry this has become.
It's a great rivalry. I mean, they've played 20 times, and they're 10 wins and 10 losses apiece. I love it, actually. I think that for the sport, I think it's great. I like both of their styles, especially the fact that Serena is so good at the Australian Open and Venus is so good at Wimbledon, yet they seem to meet each other everywhere.
Mm. There are people who say they're just getting a little tired of it.
Yeah, and I don't understand those people. Obviously, they could run for the role of NFL commissioner because they like parity. I'm not a parity person. I like dominance. I like names to run the sport. I like to see the best of the best performing at a high level. And let's face it, I don't think it hurts the game at all. Martina Navratilova and Chris Evert at 14 times, and people loved it. I think it gives the sport an identity, especially over decades.
And what about the men's final between Roger Federer and whoever the can of corn he'll be playing this year is?
Well, that would be
that's Andy Roddick. He's not a can of corn. But.
Well, but that's the funny thing about Federer. You talk about rivalries. Well, the thing with Federer is that I've lost a lot of enthusiasm for the men this time around because Nadal's not there. It's been pretty much a hammer and nail relationship with Federer and anybody other than Nadal. Mm-hmm. So. That's one of the reasons why I like that rivalry. You want to have somebody there who's going to give the champ a run for his money.
Let me ask you about Manny Ramirez's return to Major League Baseball last night. Played for the Dodgers after 50-game suspension for using banned drugs. Did not get a hit. That'll, I assume, come to an end at some point. He was very popular in the minors. What about the reaction when he comes back to the
And very games? Popular in the majors. I think the one thing that we've learned over the last 10 or 12 years when it comes to anabolic substances and the so-called steroid era is that steroids are always the other guy's problem. When it's your guy, no harm, no foul. Remember in San Francisco where the Giants fans were completely partisan behind Barry Bonds. It's the same thing in Los Angeles. And I don't think that mitigates the issue and the wrongdoing, but certainly it does make the fan response fairly predictable. When it's your guy, get him on the field and have him win games for us.
Mm. And his return makes the Dodgers even tougher?
They're a good team. They were a good team before. They're an even better team now. They're the best team in the National League, even though I still think the Phillies are going to get it together. Mm-hmm. They're very, very tough, and having him in the lineup always makes you a dangerous club.
Mm-hmm. Yao Ming of the Houston Rockets has a serious foot injury. They're even suggesting it could end his career. What happened?
Yeah, so serious. And that's the peculiar thing about sports. When you saw that injury against the Lakers in the playoffs, it didn't look like it was a career-threatening injury. There was even talk that maybe he might come back for one of the games, and then very, very quickly it went from day-to-day to surgery to out for the year to possibly having his career finished. He is one of the most popular players in the NBA. He's clearly one of their marketing engines. This would be a devastating blow, especially for their efforts to grow the game internationally. He's gigantic in China.
He's gigantic in Iowa.
He's gigantic everywhere.
Phil Jackson said yesterday he's good to go to return as coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. Won his championship this year, of course, surpassing the Mark Red Auerbach set with the Boston Celtics. Let me put it to you bluntly, my friend. Is Phil Jackson the greatest pro coach ever or the luckiest because he inherited teams with Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, and Kobe Bryant?
You could make the argument for both. To me, I give Phil Jackson credit because he had to do it. Did he have the greatest players of all time? Yes. I think Phil Jackson even had better players than Red Auerbach. But then again, Red was playing with a pretty full deck himself.
Yeah.
I think the difference with Phil Jackson is that he had players that were great at any era. But you have to give him credit because these players performed at a high level at all times, and that doesn't always happen. I think one of the hardest things to do is to take all those massive, high-ego, high-talent guys and get them to play together, and he did that. If he didn't do it, you'd say, well, how come Phil Jackson underachieved with those talented players? So I give a guy credit for getting those guys to play, especially in the NBA where the player has so much more control over the coach. He's one of the few guys who can get these multi-million-dollar players' attention.
Howard Bryant, senior writer for ESPN.com and ESPN the magazine. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.